Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
We need a church family. We need you here if you're part of our church family. We need each other. You see, every Sunday in the United States alone, about 120 million people go to a worship service. I want you to think about that. Well, these are statistics from a couple years ago. 120 million people in the United States alone are in a worship service on any given Sunday. And let's put this in perspective. This is amazing. You see, if you put 120 million people in one place, that's more people than all of the people that go to a sporting event. You can put together football and soccer and baseball and all of that on a given Sunday, and there's more people in churches than in the stadiums, believe it or not. That's the way it is in our country. But then, why do people come to church? Or why do people come and meet as a church? What are the benefits? You see, I want you to think about this too. Because there's more than 2 billion people. 2 billion people that profess being followers of Christ around the world. In the whole wide world, 2 billion people, actually some statistics say 2.6 billion people, are followers of Christ or call themselves Christians. But what benefit do they gain? What do they get out of it? I mean, what benefit do you have to get up on a Sunday morning, on a cold morning, and come to church and not stay home? You see, I've been a pastor here for more than 20 years. And unfortunately, I think, this is just my opinion, that there's a lot of people that come to church or meet as a church without having a fundamental and deep-rooted and really convicting true reason why they're here. Why do I say this? I want you to think. Because there's too many people, and we got to think about it. Why? Yeah, see, how many people in China, the population of China? I want you to think that the population of China, there's more professing evangelicals in the world than the population of China. That's a lot of people. China, a lot of people in there. As a matter of fact, the estimate is that there are more professing Christians than the population of China and India put together. That's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in China and India, and put together, and still, it is believed that there's more people that say that they're Christians than those put together. But why? Why be a part of a church? Why be part of a family of faith? And some people may have different reasons for getting up on Sunday morning and coming to church. Well, my wife makes me. Well, I'm supposed to teach this Sunday at church, so I have to go. I'm supposed to work at the nursery, so I guess I have to go. I'm supposed to, and many supposed to, and that's okay. But what is the main reason? Is it something profoundly convicting from the inside that says, I need this? Do you really need to be here? Because if you don't need to be here, why are you here? Why not stay home under the covers and watch on that 70-inch plasma you got in front of your bed or at the foot of your bed? Why not just stay there and say, I'll watch it later? It'll be recorded anyway. Why not stay home? What are the benefits? Don't you find another place to be today other than church? I think there's some benefits of being here. And you guys that are here are reaping those benefits. And you may not even notice them. And I think we all need them. See, there are needs that we have that no one can fulfill except God. There are needs that we have that nothing else in this world can fulfill except God, except actually being as part of a family, of a church. There are needs that only the church can really provide to you. And that's how we fulfill our purpose as a family and as a church and as a people of God. Coming together. That's all. I mean, that's how it all starts. So I want to talk about this today. And next week, we'll go a little bit deeper and further into this topic. Why do I need a spiritual family? Why do I need a church family? Well, first of all, what is a church? Let's just think about what the church is. See, the church is not a place you go to, and it's not an event you attend. The church is not a place you go to. Come to church. Let's go to church. Welcome to the church. I'm glad you're at church. Yeah, this is cultural, and it's okay. We've been used to calling the place where we meet the church. Where's the church located at? Well, from now on, when people ask you, hey, where the church at? Here. And where are you at? At home. Oh, so you have church at home? Yeah, because I'm the church, and I'm home. We are the church. Now, that's not the song, right? But we are the church. You know, it's okay to call this place a church. I don't mind. But you see, and every Sunday morning, you'll hear somebody come up here and say, welcome to Horeb Baptist Church. And I'm like, yeah, welcome also, Horeb Baptist Church. Or welcome, church, right? Because we are the church. But, you know, it's okay. But if you want to define it to its core, the church is not a place you go to, or it's not an event. Oh, I'm going to church. Well, when is church? Church is on Sunday. No, church is every day, 24 hours a day. Right? It's not an event that I go to once a week. It's not the place. It's none of that. What is the church then? The church is a spiritual family that you can belong to. Right? And there are many verses in the Bible that can talk about this, but I want us to go to the basics and the simplest. Acts chapter 2 and verses 42, or 41 and 42, all the way through 46. But when we go to Acts chapter 2 and verses 41, let's see for a second what it says there, what the church is. All right. And it's funny because I am actually missing the page where it's at. It's not there. Somebody changed my Bible. Well, this Bible's coming apart anyway. I'm pretty sure that the page is somewhere there. But we have technology. Because Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, so then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Who's they? Those who were converted and baptized. The church. Now check this out. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all of those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their properties and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And in verse 46, check this out. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. Oh my God, they went to church every day. This doesn't sound Baptist. This sounds Pentecostal right here. Every day. And breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Now you see what's happening here? You see what the church is doing? First of all, we see that it mentioned those who had believed and those who were baptized. Identifies the group, first of all, of who the church is. Those who have believed in Christ and been baptized, right? So there's some things we need to check ourselves with. Okay, am I a true believer? Have I been baptized? And of course, I think that's a step of obedience that we all need to take, of course. And then they said, especially, you know, they were devoted. Devotion is something that you're committed. It's just that you're committed. You are committed to something. You are committed to the teaching. Hello, where do you get the teaching? Right here. That's what I'm doing right now, right? So they're committing to the teachings of the apostles. I'm not an apostle. Please don't ever give me a title like that. I can't fit those shoes. I'm just a servant of God here, okay? But check this out. Not only that, they were having communion, fellowship. They were together, together. We are together here. We want you to be here together, right? And they were worshiping together, once again, in the temple each day. Now, I'm not expecting you to be here every day. Okay, so we start breaking the rules here. But you see, every day you can worship, and every day you can be around some of the people who are believers at home, wherever. So they were breaking bread from house to house. Now, breaking bread, you know, this is not just eating whatever Miss Dawn bakes, you know, because that's an awesome thing to do. I mean, I wish Miss Dawn would be baking every day and coming by the house, right, with some of the muffins and some of those cupcakes and stuff, right, Carolina? That would be awesome, but, you know, but they were not just breaking bread just like that. They were also basically having the Lord's Supper together every day. We have it once a month around here, and a lot of people don't even show up. Maybe we ought to do it every week. Make people come. No, that's not it. Let me just keep going because this is amazing. They were serving together, working together, doing everything together because they were serving one another. They were selling their possessions. They were doing it. They were caring for one another, but they were doing it all together. Now that's a church right there. So when I look at a church, a simple definition can be the following. A group of baptized believers who come together for the purpose of helping each other fulfill God's purposes for their lives. That's on your paper, by the way. A group of people who are baptized, who are believers, who come together for the purposes of helping each other fulfill God's purposes for their lives. You see, so now we know what is a church. So what is a church? That's exactly what it is. And you belong to it if you're in Christ. So now, the next question, why is then this so important in my life? Why is it so important that we come together each week and we do this? Okay, well, let me give you some reasons. Number one, because the church is God's family. Let's just start with the simple things. The church is a spiritual family. We're not a club, I hope. Don't act like you're in a social club. This is not a club where you pay your membership dues and you get to have the privileges. No, this is a family where there is a commitment to belong and to sacrifice for each other. You see, we are born again into a family. You see, when you were born on this earth, you were born to your family. Whether your family was the Brasset family, or your family was the Zayas family, or your family is the Abrego family, you were born into that family. But now, when you come to Christ, you are born again. And when you are born again, you are born into a family. And this family is called church. You get that? So now you are Rachid Kadam Church. And then Kadam goes to be your middle name and Church will be your last name. Can we do that? That's your last name now. You are the church. We are the church. We're born again and we are born by the Spirit of God. He is our Father, therefore we are His child, or we are His children, I'm sorry. You belong to the family of God, and His family is called church. So if you, when you were born into the human race, and you were born into your family, and you have a family name, but now you've been born to this family, and you ought to be devoted to the church family. Just like you are devoted to the Lopez family. Just like you are devoted to the Nunez family. Whatever family. You should be devoted to this family. So, see, the problem is that some of you, brothers and sisters, are starting to feel like distant cousins. You know what I mean? You have some of those distant cousins that you only see like once or maybe once every 4 years. And when they show up, you get excited. You're like, hi! My God, look at you! You're looking so good! Liar. Oh my goodness, it's so good to see you. You going to be here for the weekend? Oh no, we got to do lunch or something. You have a great time with them. Well, I'll see you in 4 years, Ashley. No, I mean, Ashley's here every Sunday. I was just using you as an example, right? Amen, hallelujah. But, you know, people, some of the church family are starting to feel, brothers and sisters, like distant cousins. We haven't seen you in a while, and you only come around once in a while. Come on, man. We miss you, and we need you. You need us, by the way. We need each other. We need to come home more often, as a matter of fact. You know how some of you might have left home and maybe you've been gone from home for a long time or whatever, and mama still keeps your room for you. I mean, maybe you're like, no, when I come home, my mama done changed that room, right? Done giving it to somebody else. I don't got no room in mama's house no more. Well, let me tell you something. Your room has not been given to anybody else. Your room is right here, and you can come whenever you want, and you can actually stay. As a matter of fact, I think you left some things in the drawers. They're still yours, right? See, we need to be in a family. We need to be home. Number two, why is it so important? Because the church is the reason why God created the universe. You see, we were not created because of the universe. The universe was created because of us. As a matter of fact, I've been reading Genesis. I started reading 1 Corinthians at the beginning of the year, and I read through 1 Corinthians, and I said, well, let me go back to the Old Testament, and I'm reading Genesis. And one of the things that I've thought about this particular reading of Genesis, I never thought about this before. I want to ask you, what was the first thing that God created on the first day? What was it that God did in the first day? Water. He worked with water. The Spirit was hovering over the waters, and He worked with the water. Where is the water? Right here. And it was funny because it says that He took the waters and He divided it into an expansion, and that expansion is called, you know, the sky, or right? But there's water in the sky too because of the clouds. And so He made, oh my God, God is so creative. But you see, I want you to think about this. Then out of the waters, He parted the waters and created what? Land, dry land, right? Then after He did all that, what's the next thing that He did? He started working on the sun and the moon and the stars. You get the picture of what I'm trying to say? What's the order of creation? You see, God didn't put the sun up there first. God didn't put the universe up there and the galaxies and the stars and everything else. Then all of a sudden, like, whoop, I guess I'll pick that little one and work on that one first. Earth, yeah. No. He made Earth. He made this first. And then everything else He built around this. You see, the same thing. This is so important. The church is the one priority of God, His family. Everything else that is created is for the church. Now, you may think, what? So all this belongs to us? Oh, yeah. The only reason, somebody said, the only reason that God created the universe is because He wanted a family. I think that's pretty cute. God wanted a family, and the family is called church. So he made a family. He made the church, but he had to prepare everything for the church, for us to be in. We are the reason for him creating the universe. If God didn't want us, why would he create all this? Just so that he could look at the mountains and the stars? No. See, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will. Before creation, before he did everything, the first thing that was on his mind was us. We were the reason for everything else. He wanted us. I like that. How about number three? Because the church is being used for God's eternal purpose. That's the reason why you need to be so closely knit into the church. That's why we need to be together. Because the church is being used for God's eternal purpose. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And I know I'm going to use a lot of verses. I want you to write down the references so you can have them so as you use your paper later on and when you go to group and stuff, okay? But Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. You see that? That the manifold wisdom of God now may be known through the church. The church has a purpose. We need to make him known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, even the angels and everything, that they may know. Wow. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, from the beginning, God's purpose in Christ and in coming to us was for us to make him known. We have a purpose. The church has a purpose. The church is here for a purpose. How important it is that we stay close, that we stay together, because God then works in us. I mean, I love it when people are like, I'm with you, I'm praying for you, I've been praying for you. I love it. We're in one spirit, in one mind, in one heart, in one soul. But how about in one body? Actually, together. Because a lot have concluded lately that being together does not include the physical anymore. It's no longer important. Well, guess what? It is. God does care about your location. I want you to think about this. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God had designed a special place for them, put them in a location, the garden, to keep it, to enjoy it, to have it. All right, no problem. That's their location. Immediately after they sinned, what did they do? They hid from God. Now, all of a sudden, they want to switch their location. You see, all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are like, we need to relocate. Because God, we can't be close to him. So they start hiding. And God comes looking for Adam and Eve like he didn't know where they were, right? God's got a GPS on all of us. So God comes over and says, Adam, where you at? He's looking for them. Because they have kind of tried to switch their location. And God is calling them and says, hey, where you been? He's like, well, we were afraid because we're naked. And who told you you were naked, right? And there goes the story. Now, I want you to think about this. God then says, okay, I'll take care of this for you. And by his grace, God covers their sin. God covers their bodies. But then God says, you're moving. Get the U-Haul truck. Because you is out of here. And takes them out of the garden and changes their location. Their physical location. Why? Because they had changed their spiritual location. Now, when you're in the right spiritual location, you also need to be in the right physical location. It is important. Now, all of a sudden, they're estranged. But yet God is now pursuing them. I don't know. This sounds a little crazy. But God still longed for them, even though they were not in the garden. And one more thing. Thank God he kept Adam and Eve together. If not, it would have been even messier. Well, he kept them together. Imagine if God would have said, Adam, you go north. Eve, you go south. Go. Wow. No, he kept them together. I think there is a reason why. And God wants to keep us together. And God wants us near him, near his family, near each other, because we are better together. And God wants to use us together. There's no reason why you shouldn't be here unless you're really sick, or maybe you're working, or maybe you're far away. No excuses. We've been waiting. And I know that God likes for his children to be together as a family, not just in spirit, but also physically. So let's keep going. Let's look at a fourth reason why we need the spiritual family of the church. Jesus died for the church. And I'm telling you, this is way too simple. I mean, think about it. Jesus died for the church. How much value can you place on the church? Jesus placed so much value on the church, on you and me, that he gave his life for us. You see, he didn't die for your business. He didn't die for your truck. He didn't die for your house. He died for you. What do you place value in? Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, hold on one second. He's telling the husband to love the wife just like Jesus loved the church. Jesus gave his life for the church. Husband, give your lives for your wife. Okay, well, wait a second. That's just for husbands and wives. You think? No. I think if you keep reading the Bible, you'll notice that this is for all of us to do for each other. We got to be willing to put ourselves on the line for each other as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. This is Jesus doing the work in us, that he might present to him the church, to himself, in all her glory. You see, God is working in us. God is doing something in us, because there's a purpose in us to shine, to be his glory on earth, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. You see that? There's so much that Jesus placed as value and worth on us. Look at how much he was willing to pay for us. And when somebody's willing to give their lives for something, that shows how valuable, how much it is worth to them. And if you're so valuable and have so much worth to him, then also how much value does the church have to you? Some of us actually in here, I don't even have to go out there, because you guys are thinking, well, I'm in here, I'm good, I'm safe today. The pastor's hitting the ones out there through the camera. Well, let me hit you here too, because this hits home. Some of you have been here for 10,000 years and probably don't know anybody that sits on this area. Or some of you over here don't even know nobody that sits in this area yet. But yet you've been worshiping together for years now. What's going on? Is it something that they did to you? No. It's something that they did to you. So can we say the church is together here? Physically. Is the church together here in spirit? Maybe. Is it the church here? Come on, guys. You get what I'm saying? There's only so many of us here. And I'm bad with names. And I could probably name 90% of the people that aren't here. And I'm bad with names. How many names can you name in here? How many people can you say, well, I've talked to this guy. Well, I've talked to that gal. Well, I've seen them for years, but I've never talked to them. Oh? Family. This is our house. We're together. So how much value have you placed in each other? I want you to think about that. Because some of you have not placed enough value and have not taken to see, you know what, I'm going to stretch myself out and go meet so-and-so, and go talk to so-and-so, and go be friends with so-and-so. We need to do that with each other. Amen? All right, I hear two amens. Great. Let's keep going. Number five, Why do we need a spiritual family like this and a church family? Because she is, or the church is, the only thing on earth that will last forever. You see, everything shall pass. The church will be standing forever. Wow. I want you to think about that. Some of you may, okay, this is going to be hard for some of you. So I'm glad you're sitting down. Starbucks is not going to last forever. Okay, this could be painful for some of you too. Walmart is not going to last forever. McDonald's is not going to last forever. Praise the Lord. See, United States is not going to last forever. Russia, China, you name it, it's not going to last forever. The only thing that's going to last forever is a church. If you want to think about it now, you can always be a little bit more, you can be a greater, deeper enthusiast and go like, wait a second, Pastor, because this is going to last forever, and this is going to last forever because God's going to remake it or whatever. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But I'm trying to make a point here. See, the church is so important. If you belong to the church, I want you to make it important for you to be part of the church and to connect with the church, because you're going to be in this church forever. Forever, Marco, forever. This will be your brothers and sisters forever. You can't get rid of me, bro. So this is important that we stick together. See, the Bible talks about the coming of Christ and that the church will meet him in the air, and we will be lifted up and taken with him, and we'll be gone and we'll be coming back and all this stuff, and I don't have time to explain all the running around that we're going to be doing for eternity until we are settled in the new creation. I don't have time for all that, but I just gave it to you. See, the thing is, we're going to be together no matter what. The church will live forever. That's why we need a church family, and we need to make it important to be together. Number six, believe it or not, I have 8 points. Let's go to number six. Because the church is the only group that Jesus said would overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12, I think it is. Right? We will overcome. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers because of Jesus Christ. So you want to be on the winning team? Get with the saints. You know what I'm talking about, the real saints. Not those who wear a black and gold t-shirt saying they're saints. I like them too. They're cool. But you know what I'm talking about. Jesus is in the business of what? Building his church. That's his business. And he's not going to be done with it yet, but he will be someday. So you want to be in it. Not only that, you see, Jesus is not interested in building anything else but the church. He's not interested in building nations and kingdoms of this earth. He's not interested in building businesses so that we could be rich, so that we could prosper and be blessed. He's not interested in building a social club. He's not interested in building an organization. He's interested in building a family, and his family is church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 says, "And I will build my church, and not even hell can come against it." Don't you want to be in that team? Don't you want to be? Well, of course, we are. But if you are, then become an active part of it. Now, we're going to have battles, and we're going to have some losses here and there. Yeah. But one thing is that we know that at the end, we overcome. And when you read this book and you go to the last chapter, it says we win. So we got it, all right? This is important. Now, let's look at the last two things before we get out of here. Why do I need a spiritual family? Called church, because the church is the only group that can solve the world problems, all of the world's problems. Oh, I want to get there. Really? Why haven't we? I want you to think about this for a second. If you put it into perspective, there is no nation, the United States, there is no nation with all the power and all the resources and everything put together that can solve the problems of this world. Like I said, 2.6 billion Christians. That's more than China and India put together. That's a lot. Can I say it one more time? A lot more than the United States. Okay? The church is great. The church is big. Jesus has built a great big church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I think we already touched on that, but just in case. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask and think according to the power that works within us. You see, he is able to do more than we can think through us, in us, because he's given us the power and the authority as we belong to his kingdom, the church. Maybe we haven't accomplished so much in the world because we haven't come together as much in this world. You see, I want you to think about the church, the Christian church. We have the largest organization in the world. The organization with the most volunteers in the whole wide world. I want you to think about that, is the church. And we do it out of love. That's got to be powerful. But let's just go to the last one. Why do we need a church like that? Why do we need a church family? Because it is a privilege to belong to the family of God. It is a privilege. Simple as that. Can you imagine? What privilege do you carry that you can say, I am a child of God? My daddy owns everything. He is the president of the universe and more. And guess what? I am one of his heirs. I didn't say one of his ears. One of his heirs. I will inherit from this father that owns it all. Wow. You see, becoming a child of God, being part of the family, is more important than you being a part of whatever family you are in this world. You see, you can have a great last name. It doesn't do you any good for your eternity if you don't have God in your family. See, this is the greatest privilege that you can have. I am part of the family of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, oh my God, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It was his power that caused us to be born again into his family. It was by his mercy to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you and me. Wow, that's powerful. You see, I told you before, and I'll say it again. When you were born physically, you were born into a family in this world. But now that you've been born again in Christ, if you have, you've been born to his family. And when Jesus calls us to be a family, be together, we ought to respond and be together, including physically together. But God is calling people to be part of him. And his call goes out. And his call goes out in love through the greatest act of love. Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son on a cross, calling out sinners to repentance and faith. And if you respond to this call and you repent and you believe, you will also be born again and be born into the family of God. That's what it's called to be born again. When you're born spiritually, you're born again. And if you have not responded to that call, then you need to. And not only that, you need a spiritual family. You need the church as your spiritual family. You were created by God. You are loved by God. And God is calling you to respond to him in faith and repentance, to acknowledge his son Jesus Christ and what he did on a cross for you. When you surrender your heart and your life to the lordship of Christ the Savior, he takes you in and says, now you're mine. You're in my family. And I got a place for you. there's a big, big house, and there's room for you. And I want you to be at home. I want you to live with me. I want to live with you and through you. That's amazing. See, move in. Move into the family. Move into his house. Belong to his house. Because the church is God's family. Church is the reason why he created everything. The church is what he's going to use for his eternal purposes. That's why Jesus died for us. And we will last and we will conquer and we will overcome forever. You see, the solution is in Christ's hand, and it's through the church for everything. And it is a definite privilege. So wouldn't you exercise your privilege? If you belong to the family of God, make yourself present.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.